No matter what we say, the question is, will we always listen to him? So may we clear our minds, our thoughts, so that we can give full attention to the word that on which we meditate this morning. Little Jimmy had been such a good boy. He was exceptionally good, as a matter of fact, better than normal. And so his father came along and said, "Jimmy, because you've been a good little boy for so long, I want to give you a reward." And he said, "As your reward, you can have anything that you want." And little Jimmy said, "Anything? Can I have anything that I want?" And his father said, "Yes, anything." And his eyes lit up and he said, "Well, Daddy," he said, "I want a puppy. Never had a puppy. I want a puppy." And little Jimmy's father said, "Well, that's reasonable. We'll get you a little puppy." So Jimmy's father took him to the animal shelter. And at the animal shelter, there were what looked like Jimmy, hundreds of dogs in cages in great long rows. There were dogs everywhere. And his father said, "You can pick whatever dog you want. Any little puppy you want is yours. That's your reward for being so good." So little Jimmy walked up and down the rows of cages, and eventually he stopped and he stood in front of this one cage. And on the floor of this one cage was this scruffy looking bitzer of a dog, all colours that made no sense all over its body. It had great long ears hanging down the side of its head, and it had the biggest eyes, just so sad eyes you've ever seen, looking up at him from the floor of the cage, and his little tail was wagging like crazy backwards and forwards. And little Jimmy said, "Daddy, I want that puppy. I want that puppy right there." And little Jimmy's dad said to him, he said, "Of all the dogs here, why do you want that little puppy?" And little Jimmy said, "Because that's the one with a happy ending. That's why I want that puppy." My question to you is, do you want the end of your life to have a happy ending? Because your life is going to end. Do you want it to be a happy one? Do you want that at the end of it all, you will be rewarded with a happy ending? Oh, hang on. Mob probably said something there wrong, because we're not supposed to talk about reward in the church, are we? Reward in the church is a forbidden thing. But I got it figured, hey, since God wants to tell us about reward, I got it figured we ought to give it some thought. Because you see, not only does he talk about reward in today's gospel, but in Matthew alone, he talks about reward all over the place. He says, "Rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven." That's verse 5 of Matthew. And in chapter 6, it tells us that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, everyone will be rewarded for what they've done. And I could pull out a whole lot of scripture now that in which God is telling us about being rewarded for the life that we've lived. So if God wants to talk about reward, then I believe it's worth thinking about. And what is this reward that God talks about? Well, I reckon that's made perfectly clear in 2 Peter chapter 1. Because in 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells us that our reward will be a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our God, there to share in the joy of Jesus Christ, our Saviour forever. Think about that reward. A rich, warm welcome into the eternal kingdom of God, and to share in the joy of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, forever and ever. What a reward awaits us. But you see, we better not get too carried away here without pausing for a moment to reflect on this. Because I'm telling you, if the only thing in your life is wanting this reward, and your whole life is motivated by receiving that reward, you're barking up the wrong tree. And probably you're not going to get it. Because you see, the thought of reward is the one thing that really appeals to sinful nature. It certainly did to Jimmy. And to be perfectly honest, it did to me too. You know, we like to be rewarded. We like to receive reward. It's good for us. You know, we like to receive reward in our personal relationships. We certainly like it when we play sport. I know that for a fact. You like to be rewarded for your performance on the field. And at the end of it all, you like to be rewarded in sharing in a premiership at the end of it and all the celebrations that take place. We like to be rewarded in the workplace. I mean, if you weren't rewarded with your wages, why would you work? We like to be rewarded in our social gatherings, even within our church gatherings. We like, the sinful human nature likes the thought of being rewarded. Sometimes it's just praise and recognition. That's reward enough, and our sinful nature feeds on that. Oh, look, somebody has recognised what I've done and I'm getting praise for that. It's feeding that sinful human nature. I mean, you all know what I'm talking about, because isn't it true that in your own personal relationships, even in your family relationships, husbands and wives, don't you women always get rewarded for doing the cooking and the cleaning? It's a great meal. You're doing a great job looking after the house. Isn't that great? You know, you do, that's happening all the time, isn't it? No, you're not answering that. And you know, us fellas, well, I know I'm stereotyping here, so you'll have to forgive me, but you know, we go out and sweat our guts out, blood, sweat and tears all day so that, you know, all you women can dress the way you do and look the way you do. Isn't that right? And it's, you know, us fellas, we're always receiving praise and recognition for the hard work we put in, aren't we? Hang on here, I'm talking to the wrong bunch, aren't I? But every now and then it happens, doesn't it? Just every now and then it happens. And boy, does it feel good when somebody just says, I'm aware of what you've done. I recognise your efforts. Thank you so much. It appeals. But the problem is that inner nature starts to feed on that, like it did with little Jimmy. And it wants more. It wants to hear more. I mean, I learned in ministry, you know. I was in ministry, what was it, 24 years I was in ministry. And I've been out of ministry but preaching for 2.5 years since. That's a total of 26 and a half years. And you know, once somebody actually commented on one of my sermons in a positive way. They did that once. And I fed on it and I think, well, it's all worth it because I got some praise. I got some recognition. God in heaven, that mightn't be exactly true, but you get the message. That's what the sinful nature craves. It craves reward. It says, you know, I give and I give, and all as I'm asking for is a fair share back. All as I want is something in return, whether it be recognition or whatever it is. But I'm telling you, if that's what's motivating you, if that desire for reward, that thought of reward is the thing that motivates you in the life that you live, I can pretty much guarantee you're going to miss out at the reward at the end of this life. Just excuse me a minute. I'm being rewarded. Thank you very much. That has just made it all worthwhile. I want another one. Anyone? Isn't that the way it works? I've got some, now I want. You can never get enough. But like I said, you're going to miss out. The thought or the desire or the need for reward will never, ever get us there. So we turn to what is God on about? He speaks about this reward and he promises this reward. That's the thing. God promises to reward us. He's assured us that it's there waiting for us. Sometimes he calls it reward. Sometimes he calls it our inheritance, our eternal inheritance. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. So what is he on about? Well, he starts to set it out in this little passage, reading of about 3 verses here today. And it sets up a formula, a process, if you like, by which this reward is guaranteed to us all. And just guess where this process begins. It begins in the heart of God himself. It begins with the love that God holds in his heart for you and me. Even though that we've messed up this world that he created, even though we are responsible, not him, for all the wrong that's here, his love still reaches out to us, calling us back to himself, calling us back to that moment when we will receive this rich reward into the eternal kingdom of our God, there to share in the joy of Jesus our Saviour. He's calling us back to that life all the time through the gospel, and it's all motivated by his love for us. Not that we are worthy of it, not that we're good enough or anything else. It's simply his love for us. But you see, that's what love is. Do you realise that love expects no reward? Love expects no recognition. Love needs no praise. Because even when love receives no reward, it will keep on loving anyway. That's what love does. Even when love gets nothing back, love will simply keep giving without question. That's what love is. That's what God's love is for us. That's what motivates his every action towards us, is simply, purely, wholly and solely love. And it is only that sort of love that will guarantee our reward at the end of this life. When we can love like that, when I can love Mari like that, love her and love her and love her without ever expecting anything in return. That's what love is. And when I can love you like that, you mob like that, that's what love does. It just keeps loving and loving and loving without any expectation whatsoever. But you see, it all began with God in his heart and his love for us. But that love then became an expression. And the greatest expression of God's love is in the birth, the life, the death and the resurrection and glorification of his own Son, Jesus Christ. There is the expression of God's love for you. That's how much he loves you. Enough to die for you. As Jesus says, he loves you enough to lay down his own life, set his own life aside for your good. And for your benefit, for your eternal salvation. He set his life totally aside just to show how much he loves you, and he loves you enough to be waiting there at the gates of heaven to give you this rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of his Father. And there you can share in his joy, his life forever and ever. Love is an expression. As some say, love is a verb, although English teachers will say it can also be a noun, and that doesn't matter. Love needs to be expressed unconditionally, without any expectation of reward. And the process that God has set up is he first loved us. He expressed that in Jesus Christ. Then he filled his disciples with his divine love, and that love motivated them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of his salvation, with others. And so then the process has kept coming from the heart of God, his expression, into the hearts of his disciples and his apostles, who were motivated to share that message with others. And then finally it has come to us. And God has filled us with his love. He has given us that message of love. And now it's up to us to share that message, to keep that message going in our own families, among our own friends, in our own communities, wherever we are, to make sure that message of love keeps growing, ever growing in this world in which we live, because that's what this world needs. It's this message of unconditional love, a love without thought of reward or return in any way. That's what God has set up in our passage for this day. And you know what is so remarkable about this? The thing that is so remarkable about this is not doing the great things, like being a great preacher or a great leader or any of that stuff. He says, give a child a cup of water because of your love for me, and you will receive your reward. Give a warm welcome to anyone who is out there. Just welcome them and show them hospitality, and you will receive your reward. In other places, he'll say, hey, all that need to do is give someone who's hungry a sandwich or something like, you know, when Kim calls around, just offer him a coffee and you're going to get a reward for that. See, it's the little things. It's the simple things that we can all get involved in that will absolutely guarantee our reward as long as our motivation always is for the love that God holds in his heart for us and the desire to share that love with others in the simplest ways. And the good news then is that that's the amazing thing. It's so simple we can all do it. But the incredible thing I find about this is, you know, a pastor does not receive a greater reward than a layperson. And a layperson doesn't receive a lesser reward than the pastor. It's all the same for all of us. That's what he's saying. You know, it doesn't matter how great you are, how recognized your life is in this world, or how insignificant you are and you live your life without much recognition or praise. At the end of the day, it's all equal. You're all going to get the same reward. And what is it? A rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of your God, and there to share in the joy of Jesus Christ forever and ever. That's the reward. But it never, ever can be our motivation. Our motivation is simply to be overwhelmed by the love that God holds in his heart for us, and then to be moved to share that love with others in the simplest things in life. And for that, there is a reward. And I pray God's reward for all of you.